This message comes from NPR sponsor Carvana. With thousands of options under $20,000, plus customizable financing terms and down payments as low as $0 down, it's easy to find a car that fits your lifestyle. Visit Carvana.com or download the app today. Terms and conditions may apply.
Hey there, it's the NPR Politics Podcast. I'm Tamara Keith. I cover the White House.
I'm Asma Khalid. I cover the presidential campaign.
I'm Miles Parks, and I cover voting.
And it is 2:58 p.m. on Wednesday, November 4th, 2020, possibly the longest day of the year. So the counting continues. Joe Biden has now won the state of Wisconsin, according to an AP call that just came in, bringing him to a total of 248 electoral votes. President Trump's tally is at 214 electoral votes. Michigan, Pennsylvania, Georgia, North Carolina, and Nevada are all yet to be decided. Asma, what are you hearing from the Biden campaign? How are they feeling?
Well, the Biden campaign is projecting optimism. I mean, they have felt good about both Wisconsin and Michigan. They also feel extraordinarily optimistic about Pennsylvania. And, you know, it is worth pointing out that we don't yet know the results fully in Michigan and Pennsylvania. But Biden's campaign manager, Jen O'Malley-Dillon, said earlier today that she feels Biden is on track to win the election. And, you know, she used some pretty optimistic but rather strong language, saying he will be the next president of the United States.
And I'll just say that the Trump campaign is also projecting optimism or saying that the numbers that they see make them believe that President Trump is going to win, though at the same time, they are also now proceeding with legal actions. They have filed a suit in Michigan seeking to at least temporarily stop the count to get more legal monitors in to watch the processing of ballots. And in Wisconsin, they have already requested a recount. And there in Wisconsin, I think, Miles, it's what, like 20,000 votes that separate the two candidates?
Yeah, it's about 20,000 votes. It's probably worth noting that the last recount in 2016 in Wisconsin ended up switching something like less than 200 votes. So the odds that a recount here would switch, you know, tens of thousands of votes are just very, very low. But it is in the realm of possibility, I guess.
I mean, it's worth pointing out that in 2016 in Wisconsin, I believe Donald Trump himself won the state by, what, a 20-some thousand vote margin. I mean, we always knew Wisconsin was going to be incredibly competitive. And so it seems like the margin that Joe Biden is leading by is roughly comparable to the margin that Trump himself won by in 2016.
Yeah, and I'm also curious, you know, Tam, you mentioned this optimism from the Trump campaign. I would even go further. It's worth noting last night that President Trump said, frankly, we have won the election. I mean, that is a direct quote. Are you seeing a disconnect between what the campaign is saying in terms of general optimism, but maybe a little more tempered compared to what the president is saying?
You know, the campaign is saying that they believe that they have won states that have already been called for Joe Biden. So, you know, I think that they are pretty much in line with what the president is saying, though the president all morning long has been tweeting out tweets that are fact check just not true about how the vote counting process works. He's amplified misinformation and he is simply sitting there at the White House sowing doubt about what is a pretty normal process of counting absentee ballots that extends beyond Election Day.
I know. You think about how many millions and millions of absentee ballots have come in this election year during a pandemic. The fact that election officials are taking, you know, a few hours, a couple days in some instances is not only, you know, not surprising, but it was predicted. Election officials, experts across the country have spent the last 6 months saying this is going to take some time. It's very possible, if not probable, we won't know who won the presidency even by the morning after the election. And not only that, experts in the federal government, aspects of the federal government that aren't the president, have been saying people are going to try to sow doubt in the results because it's taking time.
And the Biden campaign has been trying to fight back against that rhetoric. Biden's campaign manager just a bit ago sent out an email with the subject line saying, "Donald Trump will not steal this election." They've also put up this Biden fight fund. They're saying that it's going to take more resources, more financial dollars to fund the election protection efforts to take this on if the president, you know, does take this election to the courts. And so they're now fundraising off of this.
And so is the Trump campaign. In fact, they were fundraising off of it last night while the election returns were still coming in and we didn't really know what was going on. I was like, my phone was blowing up with texts fundraising from the Trump campaign. Miles, I just want to go through one tweet from the president and have you sort of walk through what he's talking about and what the actual normal process is here. He says they are finding Biden votes all over the place in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan. So bad for our country! Exclamation point. Finding ballots?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know where to start here. Why don't we start with the fact that election officials in Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania could not begin the process of counting, of verifying whether the absentee ballots that they received, the tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of absentee ballots that they received in some cases, until the day of the election. That is just an incredible amount of administrative work. And they had basically their hands tied behind their backs because the legislatures, the Republican legislatures in those states, declined to change the rules, even though election officials were asking them, basically, can we do this like the other states? Can we process these ballots earlier so that way we'll have a count earlier? The legislatures declined to act. And so what we're seeing now is the result of that, where election officials are working around the clock, literally 24 hours a day in some cases, to basically count these ballots, process them as quickly as possible. But the jurisdictions where this process is taking the longest are predictably Democratic for two reasons. One, there's just a lot more people there in those jurisdictions, and so the amount of ballots that they're seeing is just higher, takes longer to process. But also, Democrats were encouraging their voters to vote by mail at much higher numbers than Republicans were. So it makes sense then that if absentee ballots are delayed because of all of these processes that didn't get done this year, that the votes that are counted later in this process would then be Democratic votes. It's not some sort of conspiracy. Honestly, if you had just looked at this process 2 weeks ago, you would have said, well, of course, this is what's going to happen.
And look at that. The Trump campaign, I just got an email. They are also taking legal action in Pennsylvania. So I think that what we know here is that there are going to be a lot of legal filings, a lot of maneuvering in the days, hours, possibly weeks ahead. We are going to take a quick break. And when we come back, what happened with the Senate?
If you've never donated to the NPR network before, that's okay. Public radio is available to everyone for free. But we do rely on listener support from those who are able to give. So join the community of supporters for Public Media Giving Days, coming up on May 1st and 2nd. Please give at donate.npr.org, and thank you.
Big news stories don't always break on your schedule. But with the NPR app, news, culture, and podcasts are ready when you want them, in your pocket. Download the NPR app today.
The news moves fast. Listen to the NPR News Now podcast to keep up. We update stories as they evolve every hour. So no matter when you listen, you get the news as close to live as possible on your schedule. Subscribe to or follow the NPR News Now podcast.
And we're back. And although much of our focus has been on the presidential race, the presidential race is not the only game in town. And there was a new race call from the AP in the Senate. And it is somewhat surprising if you've been following this along the way. Susan Collins, the senator, the Republican senator from Maine, has been reelected.
Yeah, you know, Tam, to me, that was perhaps the most surprising Senate race call in the entire country. You know, Collins was seen to be a particularly vulnerable Republican senator. But really, I mean, bigger, I would say, than Collins defeat or victory here is the fact that Democrats had been really talking aspirationally about taking back control of the Senate and having this mandate to govern if Joe Biden were to win the presidency. Regardless of who wins the presidency, it doesn't really look like Democrats will take control of the Senate.
No.
Yeah, you look at some of these races. I mean, Texas, John Cornyn winning by 10%, South Carolina, Lindsey Graham winning by more than 10%. I mean, these were races that a couple weeks ago, there was language that from Democrats that they thought they were really in the game here.
And Miles, the thing is that leading into this with early voting off the charts, and we now know that turnout was ultimately extremely high in this election, the theory was that that would favor Democrats. But in the end, didn't really favor Democrats in like a wave type way.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see over the next couple days. Again, votes are still being counted. It does look like Joe Biden is on his way to winning the popular vote potentially by a higher margin than Hillary Clinton won it in 2016. That being said, there's definitely going to be some soul searching about how, you know, the highest turnout election in 100 years ended up in a situation where Republicans have basically held on to every competitive seat that they were defending, that they were worried about, other than maybe, you know, Colorado and Arizona.
Well, the Trump campaign did say that they were going to find new Republicans, that they were going to find people that supported the president and just didn't vote last time. And they found them. For all the energy and enthusiasm on the Democratic side, as seen in the massive fundraising numbers that went to all of those Senate races that now Democrats have not won, Republicans had the energy too.
You know, I think once we get the full results in, I'll be really curious to look at how blue counties and red counties ultimately ended up faring. Because one thing I noticed yesterday, just quickly skimming those so-called Obama-Trump counties, those pivot counties, say, in Ohio, is how much redder some of them looked. You know, they looked equally red, if not redder, than they did 4 years ago. And there was all this talk from Democrats that they could win back some of those voters with Joe Biden at the top of the ticket. And I don't know the full answer to this, but it feels, you know, sort of, I guess, as we are less than 24 hours since the polls have closed, that it seems like blue areas might have gotten even bluer and red areas, some of them may have gotten a little redder.
All right, that is a wrap for this podcast. We are watching the returns as they come in. As this develops, we will be back when there is something that you need to know. Remember, you can support all of us here at the NPR Politics Podcast by supporting your local NPR station. Just head to donate.npr.org/politics to get started and let them know that we sent you. I'm Tamara Keith. I cover the White House.
I'm Asma Khalid. I cover the presidential campaign.
I'm Miles Parks. I cover voting.
And thank you for listening to the NPR Politics Podcast.
Over the past couple decades, the U.S. has lost about a third of its newspapers, taking thousands of local journalists off their beat. A functioning democracy and functioning local journalism go hand in hand. We're trying to do our part, and that's why we need you to do your part. Make sure that the NPR network stays strong by supporting us at donate.npr.org. And thank you.
The Indicator from Planet Money is a daily podcast that helps you make sense of what's happening in the economy. And video games are a growing slice of that economy, with billions of people around the world identifying as gamers. That's why we're dedicating a week-long series to the growing business of video games. Listen to the Indicator from Planet Money podcast on NPR. The Indicator from Planet Money is all in on video games. Not just because they're a fun hobby. Video games are one of the fastest-growing businesses worldwide, worth more than the film and music industries combined.
We're seeing some games that are really taking, $500 million to make.
We're taking a week-long look at the video game industry. Listen to the Indicator from Planet Money podcast on NPR.